Good evening. I'm thankful to have another opportunity to speak, and I thought we would, since we have our singing night tonight, I've been working on a series of two or three or four different lessons on the topic of singing and how we can excel in our singing, excel to the edifying of or building up of the body, the church. And so we'll begin tonight in Colossians chapter 3 as we come together to consider our singing. This is one of several places in the scriptures that talk about how the Lord wants us to be considering that singing very seriously and what we're accomplishing in that singing. Colossians 3, 16 and 17, he says here, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." We see it there in verse 16. He begins by saying, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." We were talking some in our Bible class this morning about how that word needs to be in our hearts and how it grows up and how that word changes us. Well, that word needs to dwell in us richly. And then he makes a connection here that we need to be teaching and admonishing one another. That word admonish really is to put in mind, literally, if you go back and look at the etymology of the word there. And so as we're singing to each other here, he says, what are we doing? We're teaching each other, and we are putting things in each other's mind, the things that need to be considered. And what kinds of things, and how do we do that? Well, he then goes on to say, well, it's through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that we're singing these things, and as we're singing these songs, that we are singing with grace or favor in our hearts to the Lord. And we'll see that the scriptures have a tremendous amount to say about singing, and that's why we can't possibly cover it in just a single lesson. But also notice in verse 17 that, and it's not, of course, an accident that the Lord puts these verses next to each other. There in verse 17, he says, whatever we do in word or deed, we need to do all in the name of the Lord, all with his authority. And, of course, that includes our singing, which he's just been talking about there in that last verse, and how we need to be teaching and admonishing one another in our songs with these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that really makes the point here that we need to consider all of the words that we sing in these spiritual songs that we sing. Are these words that are words of our Lord, words that he has spoken, words that he has authorized? And so it is important, as we've often noted throughout our time here, for us to pay attention to these words and to be very mindful that these words are the words that the Scripture teaches. But when we consider our singing and how we are to be building each other up in that singing, we see this is part of what the Lord wants us to be accomplishing as we are gathered together in the church. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, here he's talking as we are dealing with each other as brethren. He says here, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." We always need to be considering what it is that we should be doing to be building each other up in the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12, he also talks about this building up, this edifying of the church. And here he says, "Even so ye, forasmuch as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church." Now, the context here in chapter 14 is talking about the spiritual gifts that were there in the church at that time. But, of course, this principle applies to everything that we do, that we need to be excelling to the edifying of the church, whether it was back in the first century when they had these miraculous gifts, or whether it's now in our work with one another, in our dealing with one another. We need to be excelling in our edifying. We need to be considering, how is it that I can be the very best that I can be when I come together with the church, how can I build up and strengthen my brothers and sisters in Christ? And of course, we just saw there in Colossians 3 that our singing is one of the ways, many ways that we do that. And we'll also see that our singing is a very important part of our worship. And as we come together to worship God in spirit and in truth, we remember that that singing is a very essential part of that worship. We should not take our singing lightly at all. We need to really be considering to whom we're singing. Remember what we saw there in Colossians 3, where he said, singing with grace or favor in our hearts to the Lord. So while we are teaching each other and putting things in mind for each other, at the same time, we're also, he says here, singing in our hearts to the Lord. And so we do need to pay very good attention in our singing, realizing this is a very important part of our worship. We'll also see in the scriptures how singing is really a fundamental characteristic of somebody who is a child of God. We'll see that it is it should be a part of all of our lives, not just when we gather together, but all the time. We should actually be considering how the Lord wants us to be singing. In Proverbs 29 and verse 6, he talks about this characteristic of the righteous. There in verse 6, he says, in the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous does sing and rejoice. We need to be mindful, and we'll see again through many passages that we look at, that there are many, many things that we need to have in mind that would cause us to sing, what we would sing about. But here he says, the righteous doth sing and rejoice. In James chapter 5 and verse 13, here he says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. So when we are merry, and we'll see again as we look at some examples tonight and hopefully later as well, that there are many, many things that we should realize that we have to be happy about and that should cause us to, as he says here, sing psalms. There are many, many blessings that the Lord has provided that we need to be considering. And so we'll also see that the things that are characteristic of the righteous in this life are also going to carry into heaven as well. We'll look at a few passages to see that. In Revelation 5, we'll read here verses 7 through 12. Revelation 5, beginning in verse 7, says, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So here we see this picture in Revelation 5 of this singing that is going on in heaven. In verse 9, we see that there are the 24 elders that are there by the Lamb, and they're talking about what they're singing of there in verse 9. Notice some of the things that are part of this song that they are singing, where they are saying, you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of all of these nations. So that is one of the things that they're singing of, that redemption that Christ has brought. Verse 12, we see there are more, though, than just these elders, the 24 elders. Here we see, if you do the math, right, there's 100 million angels plus a few thousand here, right? So can we possibly imagine what it would be like to see 100 million angels singing? I don't think we can really visualize that, but hopefully we'll get to look forward to seeing that one day. But what are they also noting and singing of here? Well, again, they're saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive this power and honor and glory and blessing." So we see this great multitude in heaven that are singing these praises and, that are due to our Lord. In Revelation 14, we see another passage here where there's a little bit smaller number that are singing. In verse 1, it says there, "And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers, harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." So here we see another account of this singing that is going on in heaven. And here he talks about it was a song that was only that no one could learn other than these 144,000 that were redeemed from the earth. But a new song here he is noting. And of course, we'll see this phrase several times in the scriptures where he talks about this new song. And we'll realize that, well, there are very many, many things that the Lord does for us every day that give us new things to sing about. And of course, throughout all of history, there have been different works, great works that the Lord has done that have led to songs that talk about those wondrous works that he has done. So we need to consider the things that he's working for us, and the fact that, well, there might be a lot of new songs that we could come up with as well of the things that the Lord has done for us. In Revelation 15, in verse 1, here he says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." So once again, we see this scene in heaven where these ones are gathered together. Notice in verse 2, after they had gotten this victory over this beast. And of course, we could go into Revelation and talk about this beast was very evil and fighting against the saints of the Lord. But here they had gotten this victory. And so after this victory, what are they doing? Well, in verse 3, it says they're singing the song of Moses, the servant of God. So these ones that had gotten this victory, they're going back to a song that Moses sang. And we might ask the question, well, why would they be singing the song of Moses after this victory that they've gotten in heaven? And notice some of the things that they're talking about there, how he is almighty and how his works are great and marvelous. But again, why are they singing the song of Moses at this point in time? Well, it might be good for us to go back to Exodus chapter 15 and to consider what is likely this song of Moses that this is referring to. Exodus chapter 15, this is a little bit of a reading here, but there are many, many things that we see in this song of Moses, and things that we'll see were being directly referenced by these ones in heaven that had gotten this victory over the beast. And we'll see a common theme here that when we get the victory, we understand, well, who is it that gives us this victory? We understand that it is the Lord that gives us these victories over these evils in this life. And we'll see this theme that The Lord gave the Israelites a great victory. And what did they do? Well, when we look in Exodus 15 and verse 1, it says there, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea." Now, if we look at the context here, we'll see that this is the day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and how he destroyed the Egyptians and brought them out and gave them that victory. And in that day, this song of Moses was one that he taught the people to sing. So we might consider here, as we read these verses in Exodus 15, these are words of a song. And, you know, a lot of these things that we read sometimes in the scriptures that are psalms or songs like this, maybe they don't sound like a song when we read them, but we need to realize, well, it was a song. And these are examples of things that we should be singing about in our songs as well. So it goes on. In verse 2, it says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." So notice here in verse 2, the Lord is my strength. But notice the next thing it says there is, "The Lord is my strength and song." So what was natural for them to do when they had this great victory and they saw these great works that the Lord was doing? The natural thing for them to be doing here was to be singing about those things. And that ties back to some of those earlier references we saw where he says the righteous will sing. Well, one of those things that we should be singing about are the wonderful works that the Lord is doing. So we continue on here in verse 3. It says, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters." So we see here the song being very specific about the events that transpired there as those Israelites came across that Red Sea. Very detailed account here of what happened to the Israelites and how the Lord caused those waters to stand up and to be parted and to allow them to go across, and how the Lord brought this great wind, as it says there in verse 10, and caused the Egyptians to sink, as it says here, to sink as lead in these mighty waters. So the song is being very specific about the works of God, and we should consider that as one of the things that should be characteristic of the songs that we sing as well, is that we are speaking of, singing of these works that the Lord is doing. And just as it's being very specific here, we should be specific in our songs about these great and mighty works that the Lord has done throughout all time. And of course, if we're singing the psalms and these hymns and these spiritual songs that we find in the scriptures, well, certainly that is accomplishing that. We see many of these works described in these psalms. We pick up in verse 11. He says here, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. And of course, we can read about those accounts in the book of Joshua. And that is exactly what some of those descriptions talk about. And even Rahab, we might remember when she gave her account to the spies, talks about that fear that this event instilled throughout all those different people who were a mighty people, but yet their hearts, as she said, melted. Well, here we see that description before it is happening. This is describing they've come out on this day, and this is what this is going to cause amongst all of these nations. Verse 16, fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. So we see many, many things expressed in this song, but again, we see some common characteristics with what was being sung in heaven and why they were singing this song of Moses. Consider the great deliverance that we just read about here in this song. Consider what it says here, where it says the Lord will reign forever and ever, and the many things it says about the Lord's glory in his power. Was that any less true at the point in time where the ones in Revelation are singing about that deliverance that they've been given? You know, these things were true back in the days of Moses. They're true today, and they're going to be true there in heaven in the future. And so this song applies. The things that happened there in Egypt, the Lord has been a deliverer for all time, and his greatness will be forever. And we need to be singing of that in our songs. Again, we saw there in verse 1 where he says, I will sing to the Lord because he has triumphed gloriously. We need to consider how glorious he is and speak of those things in our songs. We saw in verse 11 where he says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Those are the kinds of things that we need to be attributing to our God. There is none like him. If we consider Revelation 15, which we read earlier, but just now that we've read this song of Moses, let's consider a couple of verses that we read earlier and see how they are very, very similar to what we just saw there with the song of Moses. In verse 3 of Revelation 15, it says, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. You know, it sounds, again, the things that they're singing of there in Revelation are very much true and the same as what the children of Israel saw when the Lord brought them out of Egypt. Deuteronomy 32 is another passage where we see a song that Moses sang. We're not going to go into this one tonight. It's also quite lengthy. And it's a bit of a different song because it's one that is more oriented towards admonishing the people. The Lord, before he sent the children of Israel into the promised land, the Lord knew their hearts. He had been there with them for 40 years in the wilderness. And of course, the reason that they were there for 40 years in the wilderness was because of their unbelief and how the Lord destroyed all the older ones. And he only brought in Joshua and Caleb of the older ones and let those other ones pass away before he would bring them into that promised land. But nevertheless, he knew what their hearts were, and he knew that they were going to be tempted and that they were going to turn to these Canaanites and these others who serve these gods. And so the Deuteronomy 32 is another song where he speaks of that. But he begins that song as well in a very similar way in Deuteronomy 32. We'll just read a couple of the beginning verses of this song. And then, Lord willing, in a later lesson, we'll read some of the remainder of that. But notice in verse 3 here, he says, because I will publish... I'm sorry, this is... in verse 2, he says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender earth, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. So once again, we see this song containing these words, which, as it says here, ascribe greatness unto our God, because he is the only one that is able to do these things. And as it says there in verse 4, his work is perfect. And so we do need to be considering the Lord's wondrous works. We need to be speaking and singing those words as part of our songs. We saw that back in the days of Moses with these two very specific songs. We read in Revelation where they're singing some of those very same songs. And it kind of brings home the point that, well, what should we be singing about today? You know, we should be thinking about the Lord and his greatness and speaking of these things in the songs that we're singing. We're out of time tonight to really get into it any further, but I hope we all will be encouraged to consider how we all need to be thinking about what we are singing and singing so that we can strengthen and edify one another. We'll close our lesson tonight with Psalm 104, and we'll read verses 33 and 34 here. He says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Remember we read earlier where he says, if is any merry, let him sing psalms. Well, here we see one of these psalms connecting that and where he's pointing out, as long as I have my being, I will be singing praise to my God. We all need to be considering that, you know, as long as we do have our being here on this earth, who is it that's giving us that life, that being here? And who is it that we need to be crediting that with? And so we need to be glad for these blessings, and we need to be praising him for all of these blessings in our songs. And so I hope that will encourage all of us, not just on our singing nights, but in all the times that we sing, that we will be considering the words and considering the things that we should be having in our songs as we worship him.